This episode is sponsored by Indeed. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes of this show, booking guests across time zones, tight turnaround edits, and constant time management. And when things get chaotic, you realize pretty quickly how important it is to have the right person on your team. If I had to hire someone tomorrow, I wouldn't just want a good editor. I'd want someone who understands pace in long-form interviews and can work fast under pressure. And in moments like that, you think, this is a job for sponsored jobs. Because Indeed sponsored jobs boost your listing in search results, helping you reach the candidates with the specific skills and experience you actually need. And it works. Sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed are 95% more likely to report a hire than non-sponsored jobs. That's a serious edge when the pressure's on. Spend less time searching and more time actually interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. When you need the right person to cut through the chaos, this is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? This is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs. Cadillac has entered Formula One, deepening the racing pedigree behind every V-Series on the road. Discover a lineup that delivers pure adrenaline in the form of modern luxury. Experience the quickest Cadillac ever, the all-electric Lyriq V, the peak performance of the CT5V Blackwing, the nimble agility of the Optiq V, and the legendary roar of the Escalade V, all engineered to thrill. Find out more about Cadillac's performance story in Formula One and our race-tested V-Series lineup at Cadillac.com.
What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah. That feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
Since she first sat in a go-kart, Dorian Pan has only wanted to drive.
9 years old and you're driving 90 kph and you like feel like a superhero, you know? The first thing I love is the sensation and the driving, but I'm very competitive and I don't like losing.
Dorian raced and she won, but that wasn't enough. Aged just 11, she walked into meetings to find sponsors so she could move up to cars, endurance racing and Le Mans. Her goal? A career in open wheel racing. Her dream, Formula One.
Dorian Pan has won the championship.
Yes! I love you guys.
F1 Academy champion, Mercedes development driver, poised to drive an F1 car for the first time. In 5 years, where could Dorian be?
I hope I will have a racing suit.
A Mercedes racing
Mercedes
suit.
Mercedes with the stars being Formula One.
Hello and welcome to F1 Beyond the Grid with me, Tom Clarkson. Every driver who makes it into the Formula One paddock has given everything they have to be there. And Dorian Pan is no exception. From a young age, it was clear she had the talent, she just needed the opportunity. She showed her speed with sports car wins and honed her racecraft in endurance racing, including the Le Mans 24 Hours. Mercedes spotted her and gave her a seat in F1 Academy. Suddenly, Dorian was in the same team as her racing role model, Lewis Hamilton. Advice from him, George Russell, Kimi Antonelli, and F1 Academy boss Susie Wolf helped her make the switch to open-wheel race cars on Grand Prix circuits. Second in her first season, she sealed the F1 Academy title in year two on the streets of Las Vegas. Her target is the same as it was when she first sat in a kart, racing in Formula One. Now, a bit of a glimpse behind the scenes before we start. F1 Beyond the Grid is recorded at racetracks around the world, and occasionally we have to record when there are cars on track. When I spoke to Dorian, we were sitting in a room above the start-finish straight in Shanghai, and the Porsche Supercup support race was on. So it's a little bit noisy, but hey, that's part of being at the racetrack. Dorian, thank you for your time. How are things?
Good, good. And you?
Very well, thank you. Now, you're a busy lady, reigning F1 Academy champion. You're the Mercedes development driver in Formula One. You're racing LMP2. Do you like the variety you've got going on at the moment?
I like being busy for sure because I love what I do, and having all these opportunities, it's great for me and for my learning and for my career as well. So I'm enjoying everything.
Does variety as a racing driver make you better? All the different experiences?
Yes, definitely, definitely. More you are working with experienced people and being around with them, you obviously learn a lot of things, and you can reflect on yourself as well to progress and to bring some new things into your career and your approach to racing and stuff. So definitely.
Well, let's start. We're going to break this down, but let's start with Formula One. You are the development driver for Mercedes. What does the role entail?
So basically, I'm doing some simulator work with the F1 team. So being in the simulator with the engineer and doing a lot of testing, and we have a lot to do with the new car, obviously. So a lot of work into the simulator, and then on the side, I'm gonna be in the F1 Academy races as well to help Peyton Westcott, that is the new F1 Academy driver racing for Mercedes. And I'm here to share my experience and try to help her progress into her young racing career, because she's only 16. And I'm looking forward to see her progression as well.
Well, come on to Peyton. Can we start by talking about the sim in Brackley? What does that mean in terms of, are you helping develop this year's car? Are you there on Friday nights during a Grand Prix weekend? What does that look like?
Yeah, basically we are doing the work to develop the car. So there's a lot of test items that engineer wants to try, and we are here to test everything, then to send and give feedback to them, so we can go to all of these, and then we have some new invention to the car or new improvement. And that's the job of us inside the sim, is to really be precise on the feedback and give the maximum info while driving on everything we do to then progress on and on. Yeah.
How complex are the simulators? How long has it taken you to get used to it?
One morning, actually. Yeah. No, it's very realistic compared to the real car. I haven't driven yet, but probably this year in a private test. But it's very, very realistic. And you can really give the feedback. It's exactly the same car as the real one. When I'm talking to George and the team, and you can really do a very good job in the sim, and it's relevant in real life. So yeah, everything is very precise. And
could anyone who's done a bit of sim racing jump on a Formula One simulator and do a good job?
It's a big step. I'm not a driver that did a lot of sim in the past. So I did it during COVID, obviously, because we had no racing. But for sure, you have a time to adapt, and there's a lot of things going on. It's a F1 car, and there's a lot of technical stuff that you have to learn. And the engineers are here to help you as well. There's a lot of engineers as well, so they are here full time. at Bracley to work with all the drivers that is coming into the team. So yeah, it's definitely very complex, but very interesting for us also.
How long is a sim session?
It's full day normally. Like it's from
eight hours?
8 to 6, 7 p.m. and with a short breaks to eat. But yeah, it's quite a lot of work. Yeah.
I find this fascinating. How many laps can you do from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m.?
You can do a lot.
I mean, you can do a lot.
I did, for my first day of the sim, I did the 102 laps.
Wow.
So quite a lot.
Which racetrack?
Abu Dhabi.
Okay. Yeah. You're going to be quick when you next go to Abu Dhabi, aren't you? Now, you mentioned something a moment ago about driving a real Formula One car. Has Toto said that?
Yes. Obviously, we had to see how is the sim going, and then it was the potential next step, but the sim went well, very well, actually, and that's why they had the idea to put me in a private test and to give me the chance to drive the real car. So definitely I'm really pushing for it as well, because I really want my chance to drive the car and to show that there is a potential, because my target is to go to Formula One. So I will make sure that I'm fully ready before jumping in the car in the real life.
What do you think will be the biggest difference with the sim?
I think the downforce, because the sim is very realistic, but the downforce is huge in F1. And that will be the most different.
Have you had a seat fit yet?
No, not yet.
We need to be there when this happens. Now, can I talk to you about your relationship with Mercedes? It began a couple of years ago, didn't it, when you joined the F1 Academy? Just how did the conversations begin? Was it Gwen LaGrue who first got in touch? Or?
Yes, Gwen, obviously, that is helping me a lot in my racing career as soon as I joined Mercedes. But yes, obviously, we had some discussions end of 2023. I was racing in the World Endurance Championship in LMP2 with Prema. And
winning.
Yes. And then we decided to do the jump into single-seater racing, because was my target in my racing career. And obviously Mercedes came to us as well. I mean, we all had the discussion to join the junior program in 2024.
Yeah. How different is a sports car compared to a Formula 4 car like F1 Academy?
It's very different. It's, the endurance racing world is very different to F1, for sure. It's a lot about management and teamwork, and it's also a teamwork, obviously, in a Formula One. Everyone is part of success, and everyone has to be involved. But endurance races is obviously more heavier car, so different driving styles. GT is proper racing, because you can allow to touch a bit and do some.
Rubbing's racing, Dorian, right?
Sorry?
Rubbing's racing.
Yeah. Yes. But no, LMP2 and hypercar is also very interesting categories. And a lot of manufacturers are coming to the World Endurance Championship. So in the future, I think it will be very interesting to follow and to watch and to be racing on as well. So
because this is quite a well-trodden path for Mercedes. I think back to the Mercedes juniors of the early 90s, Schumacher, Wendlinger, Frentzen, racing in WEC, and then, of course, all three of those make it to Formula One, and Michael Schumacher needs no introduction. Are your inputs very different as a driver, though? Is there more subtlety, I suppose, to racing a single-seater?
Yeah, it's slightly different, but it's still a lot of performance at the end. You have to have the fuel strategy, tire strategy in endurance, but you still need to drive as fast as possible, you know, trying to fuel save and tire save, and at the same time be the fastest on track. And so in terms of driving, sometimes it's a bit different in the races, but in terms of having a LMP2 car or GT in a quali, it's the same. I mean, there's a lot of different things, but in terms of driving is the same. You try to extract the maximum of performance of the car, and the driving is still very committed and there, yeah.
What about Le Mans? 24 hours. You've raced there before. Is that a completely different kettle of fish? I mean, 24 hours. I hear some people saying that you're on the limit for 24 hours if you want to win it. Is that your experience of it?
I've been in the 24 hours of Le Mans in 2023 for my first ever Le Mans. It is different, yes. But yes, you push for 24 hours for sure, because the competition is very high. And the most important thing is obviously to stay out of trouble. But sometimes you have to take risk, and there's a lot of things going on. There's the strategy going on. There's obviously the performance for us inside the car, but there's also the traffic management. Because
how hard is that traffic management?
It's tough. It's tough.
Because it's busy out there, isn't it?
It's very busy, yeah. There's a lot of cars on track. At least it's a long track, but still, there's always a car. And especially when you're the fastest car coming into the GT and you catch up GTs, you have to overtake as soon as possible, as fast as possible. And when you catch up in high speed, obviously you have to manage before to arrive at the right moment and position and overtake. So it's a lot of experience as well. So it's a lot of things that you have to manage as a driver. It's not only driving as fast as possible, and it's a lot about management, but also giving the right feedback of what is happening on track and the conditions. And if it's raining, you have a lot to do in the car to give the information in the pit wall.
How do you like sharing a car with another driver?
It's good. It's good.
Is it really?
It's obviously when you're alone, your car is set up for you. But when you share, it's compromises. But no, it's a good experience to share cars and to be involved to such a big team that everyone is putting their 100% effort to succeed is beautiful, and is good to share and talk between drivers and the team, because everyone has his way to think and way to approach, and sometimes we can grow faster, you know. So it's very interesting.
I hope we're allowed to say this, but Richard Vachon is one of your teammates, isn't
he?
Now, Richard's a great guy. He's had lots of success in Formula 2. He's now part of, the McLaren Young Driver Program, but he's quite a lot bigger than you. So how does it work at a pit stop? Who's the least comfortable, you or Richard?
We have to ask him, but we made the seats fit 2 weeks ago and was a nightmare, to be honest, because he's 187.
And what are you?
I'm 160. So
right, so how does that work?
It's a mess. It's a big mess. So him is the base of the seat. Basically, he's the insert that stay always in the car. But obviously, the full pedal are not... we cannot adjust it when it's fixed in the chassis. So they are all the way forward, obviously. And me, obviously, I'm very laid down, you know, on the car. So he's the base, and I'm doing an insert on the base of Richard. But
are you comfortable?
Not really.
It's kind of hard,
isn't
it?
We try to, but...
And how long is a stint at Le Mans? 2 hours?
Depends the strategy, but sometimes you can triple the stint with the same tires. So it's 3 times 40, 45 minutes.
Okay, so
42 minutes, the stint, yeah. So it's quite long, but also him, he's not very comfortable. He's very tall, he has the knee almost in the cockpit, so it's always a compromise, but it's like this.
This episode is sponsored by Indeed. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes of this show, booking guests across time zones, tight turnaround edits, and constant time management. And when things get chaotic, you realize pretty quickly how important it is to have the right person on your team. If I had to hire someone tomorrow, I wouldn't just want a good editor. I'd want someone who understands pace in long-form interviews and can work fast under pressure. And in moments like that, you think, this is a job for sponsored jobs. Because Indeed sponsored jobs boost your listing in search results, helping you reach the candidates with the specific skills and experience you actually need. And it works. Sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed are 95% more likely to report a hire than non-sponsored jobs. That's a serious edge when the pressure's on. Spend less time searching and more time actually interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. When you need the right person to cut through the chaos, this is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? This is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs. This episode is sponsored by Indeed. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes of this show, booking guests across time zones, tight turnaround edits, and constant time management. And when things get chaotic, you realize pretty quickly how important it is to have the right person on your team. If I had to hire someone tomorrow, I wouldn't just want a good editor. I'd want someone who understands pace in long-form interviews and can work fast under pressure. And in moments like that, you think, this is a job for sponsored jobs. Because Indeed sponsored jobs boost your listing in search results, helping you reach the candidates with the specific skills and experience you actually need. And it works. Sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed are 95% more likely to report a hire than non-sponsored jobs. That's a serious edge when the pressure's on. Spend less time searching and more time actually interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. When you need the right person to cut through the chaos, this is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? This is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs. Back to Mercedes. How much contact have you had over the last couple of years with the other Mercedes juniors and with George and Kimi Antonelli?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes we see each other, but mainly me with F1 Academy. I was in the same weekends as Formula One, so I was able to chat with them and to have some advice from them to ahead of the weekend. And it was very useful for me. Obviously, going to a track that I don't know, like Montreal last year or Las Vegas, I was able to have some advice from George, especially. So we had always a call before the weekend, or we see each other on track to see some onboards or some data, so I can have the full information and full picture of what I expect before the weekend. So,
what kind of advice would George give you? Because the racetrack is very different in an F1 Academy car versus a Formula One car,
for sure. But he's mainly driving the approach, the curbs, usage, the track characteristic. F1 and F4 is very different, for sure. But track has a characteristic, and whatever you have more downforce or high downforce, the corner is the same. You know what I mean? For sure, they will, in high speed, they will have much more speed than us. But it's the same approach in terms of driving. So those kind of feedbacks from a driver, a Formula One driver, is fundamental, because it's the best feedback that I can have before jumping in the car. And I know what to do in high speed, what to approach this corner with elevation, not elevation, curb usage inside, outside. So like bumps as well on braking zone. You have a lot of information that you want to know. When you jump in the car and you have no question in your head, that's the best way to perform. So that's the thing that I'm always looking for before starting a weekend.
How often, though, are you jumping in the car with no questions? A bit like a footballer is rarely fully fit.
Yeah.
But they still play.
Yeah.
How often are you getting in the car?
Most of the time, to be honest, because I really like to get prepared well before each session I'm doing, each runs. So normally I know everything, but you know, what happened on track, you never know. You will never guess before you are actually in the moment. And then it's yourself. You are trying to adapt to the situation and try to perform as best what, with what you have at the moment, but going on track without any thought and only connecting to the presence, it's the best, and it's but how Dorian, I managed to perform here. Yeah.
But Dorian, I think you're a driver who can adapt. And I look at the Las Vegas season finale, right?
Yeah.
You had every weather thrown at you, and you were one of the ones who sort of kept your head.
Yes.
And that, you know, ultimately helped win the title, right?
Yeah, because before each weekend, I'm visualizing the track. If it's dry, damp, wet, fully wet. So I have the whole picture in my head, and I know what to do with the car. I know how I adapt to the situation, all different situations. I try to visualize where to overtake, where to surprise, where to safety car restart, where to, you know, so I have the full picture in my head, and it's then easier to adapt to things, you know, when you're fully prepared. So then it's natural.
I can so see that you've spoken to George a bit, because I feel like I'm speaking to George Russell. He's always so incredibly prepared. We're chatting in China, and, you know, he came up with a line yesterday in the press conference where he said, you know, this was the second grippiest start of the year last year. You know, he's just looked at everything.
Yeah.
And you strike me as a similar
approach. We have a thing in
common then. Look, while we're talking racing drivers, can we just discuss inspirations for you? I mean, let's look at the current grid. Who in Formula One has inspired you when you were younger to get involved?
The one who inspired me is Lewis Hamilton, mainly, because when I started watching Formula One when I was very little with my dad at home, it was Lewis Hamilton, obviously winning titles. And my first memories is when he won his first title with Mercedes, second title for him in 2014. So that was my first memory when they keep fighting with his teammate Nico Rosberg. So
was it a bit surreal then when he would come down to the academy paddock?
Yes. It was because I was watching him since a very long time, and the first year I joined Mercedes, he was still in Mercedes. So I was able to have some advice and support from him, and it's still now up to last year. We discussed a bit sometimes when we see each other, and you know, he's there to help, and very easy to talk with. So I'm glad we met, and I'm glad I had the chance to have some advice from him.
What about Antonelli? Have you come across Kimi much?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the last year, obviously.
Yeah.
We spent some time together between the team, also for media and for events outside the track. But we were able to discuss a bit and also had some advice from him, especially when we had our first test in F1 Academy in the 2025 season. We were testing in Jerez. And I had no idea about anything in Jerez because I never drove there. And he actually, 2 weeks ago, before I went, he did a F1 test there. So I had the full on board and the full advice from him as well. So it was
amazing.
Good. Yeah.
But how useful is an onboard of F1 if you're not driving F1?
It's still good because they are very good drivers. Obviously, you can get a lot of information watching their onboards. In terms of track usage and overall the balance of the car, you can see a lot in onboards. So even if it's not the same top speed, not the same braking point, actually it's close, the braking points, but the minimum speed and stuff, it's completely different. But as I said, in terms of driving, the lift in high speed and stuff, it's pretty similar, even if you have different speeds. So it's still very, very useful. But obviously, the best thing is to have an onboard from the category you're driving. But sometimes when we go to Las Vegas and there is only Formula One racing in Las Vegas, you have no choice. And you have to get ready with a full onboard of Formula One, and you have to deal with it, and that's it. Yeah.
What's really coming across is all the Mercedes drivers, it's kind of one family. Is that how it feels on the inside?
Yeah, very much, yeah.
Do you feel you can ring anyone, Khan?
Yeah, I can. Yeah, I can ring anyone. Yes, yes. They are very good, very, very close to each other, helping each other. Very friendly as well. So, I met a lot of amazing people within the team and very proud to have this chance to be within the Mercedes family and learning from them and spending time with them and winning with them as well.
Yeah. Winning with them. We're going to come on to that. But can I ask you about Susie Wolf? I'm guessing you've had a lot to do with her, both obviously Toto Wolf's wife, but also what she does at F1 Academy. How much of an inspiration has she been?
She has been a big inspiration. Obviously, the project that she created with F1 Academy is huge and is expanding every year. And she was a driver herself. So she had experience and she knows exactly what we need to us have the same opportunities as the men. And that's why she created this platform, I think, is to give us the opportunity to race, to the opportunity to work with a manufacturer and to have the visibility also for our career. And it's good for us and it's a big chance that we have once in a lifetime. So it's a chance to have her around us. And
you've already said, Dorian, that you were watching Lewis in 2014. So do you remember Susie doing her practices for Williams in 2014?
Yeah, it was. But I don't remember the moment where she went on track, but I know what she experienced and it's amazing.
You seem like a sponge for information. You've talked about advice from George and Lewis and Kimi. What about Susie? What advice has she given you?
The best advice she gave me, it's you have to be fully there. And if you're 98% or 99% there and you let the 1% at home or whatever, you don't extract the full potential of your career. And those things are very important, you know, for us because we have opportunities that is not coming every day and we have to take fully. And to know, to make sure that we are fully ready and to make sure that we are working with the team and the team is there to help you. And it's also important for us to have a very good communication with everyone that is around, you know, everyone that is helping you in your career. And that's what she tell us and she tell me.
Is it focus we're talking about here? Or is it more than that?
It's more communication. You know what I mean? Like, you have your opportunity, but you have to make sure that everyone is on board, basically, you know? And you have to trust the people you're working with. You have to work with the people you're working with and to optimize everything that is around, basically.
This episode is sponsored by Indeed. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes of this show, booking guests across time zones, tight turnaround edits, and constant time management. And when things get chaotic, you realize pretty quickly how important it is to have the right person on your team. If I had to hire someone tomorrow, I wouldn't just want a good editor. I'd want someone who understands pace in long-form interviews and can work fast under pressure. And in moments like that, you think, this is a job for sponsored jobs. Because Indeed sponsored jobs boost your listing in search results, helping you reach the candidates with the specific skills and experience you actually need. And it works. Sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed are 95% more likely to report a hire than non-sponsored jobs. That's a serious edge when the pressure's on. Spend less time searching and more time actually interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. When you need the right person to cut through the chaos, this is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? This is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs. This episode is sponsored by Indeed. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes of this show, booking guests across time zones, tight turnaround edits, and constant time management. And when things get chaotic, you realize pretty quickly how important it is to have the right person on your team. If I had to hire someone tomorrow, I wouldn't just want a good editor. I'd want someone who understands pace in long-form interviews and can work fast under pressure. And in moments like that, you think, this is a job for sponsored jobs. Because Indeed sponsored jobs boost your listing in search results, helping you reach the candidates with the specific skills and experience you actually need. And it works. Sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed are 95% more likely to report a hire than non-sponsored jobs. That's a serious edge when the pressure's on. Spend less time searching and more time actually interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. When you need the right person to cut through the chaos, this is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? This is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs. Can you tell us a little bit more now about your journey in racing? I know you started karting at the age of 9. Was racing in your family?
So my dad raced.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah, my dad racing go-karting only. So okay. just like a hobby. With my uncle, who is his brother, he's mechanic. And
Was dad quick?
He was actually in go-karting, yes. Yes, but maybe not had the chance financially to continue. He was quick. But he did only some races in France, so just national races. But yeah.
Can you remember the first time you drove a kart?
Yes, I do. I do remember.
Is there a story? Can you tell us?
A Wednesday after school. I was school at the morning. And then we were planning to go at the racetrack in the afternoon. And we had the go-kart on the trailer. I remember we take the road and I was watching the mirrors and I was seeing my go-kart. I was so proud because I was waiting that moment for a very long time because in France you can start at 6 years old and I was too short. I had some issues and my growth and my height. So I had to wait until 9. So imagine the...
Yeah, it's a long 3 years,
the frustration.
Right?
Yeah. Yes. So we went at the racetrack and I drove for the first time. I was very, very happy. And I said to my dad, all the other sport that I was doing at that time, I said, okay, dad, I think I want to stop. I just want to race.
What was it about racing for you that you love so much? Was it the speed?
I think it was the sensation in the car. You know, you are like 9 years old and you're driving 90 kph. Okay, it's nothing for us, you know, but it's fast for 9 years old, you know. And you like feel like a superior, you know? It's like...
But the reason I ask that question is that doing these interviews with racing drivers, I feel there are two different types of racing driver. You get people who love the sensation of driving and you get people who love competition.
Yeah.
And I think there are some Formula One drivers who their main source of motivation is the competition, not the driving.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why, but for you, it's the driving.
No, both, because because I'm only child, actually, but I'm very competitive since since I'm born, I think. But because I did a lot of sports and I was always looking for to beat everyone. So I play tennis and I've been playing good tennis at my age. So I've been going to the higher level. So I was playing with a 12-year-old and I was 6, 7, 8. So I wanted to have competition, you know. I wanted to look for winning matches and races when I was at the racetrack. So I'm very both. I'm very connecting to what I'm doing, because I think the first thing I love is the sensation and the driving. But I'm very competitive and I don't like losing, so.
Note to self, don't play you at tennis. I'm getting this vibe. Do you know, Toto Wolff tells this great story of how he went to support a friend of his who was racing in Formula 3 at the Österreichring, which is now, of course, the Red Bull Ring. I think it was Philipp Peter, I think, was the friend of Toto's. And he said, standing on the grid next to Philipp prior to the start, he said, I think he described it to me as a eureka moment. He said he knew from that moment onwards that this is all he wanted to do. And when you first got behind the wheel, it was the same for you.
Exactly. Yeah. Is the fact that this is very special and everything else is just normal. You know, it's something that is step out in your life. And I've been doing a lot of sports. I've been obviously going to school until my high school exams. But when I was at the racetrack, I was the most happiest person, you know. And it's an evidence for me to be there, you know, and to be at the racetrack and to race. So for sure, you have to feel this sensation that is stepping out on all the other sensations that you live in your life.
Tell me more about your 6 years in karting. So was it mainly in France?
Yes, mainly in France, yeah.
And how many other girls were there in your category?
When I began, I was the only one. So
how did that feel?
I was not paying attention, to be honest. Yeah, okay. But I don't think I've realized, even my dad was not doing a story about it. You know, we were there to win races and to be competitive, but also to enjoy. I didn't mind to be alone, but then I realized when I grew up that I'm the only one and I'm opening some doors to the sport and to the girls that also want to do the same and think that it was impossible before.
You're definitely doing that now, but do you think you were doing that even when you were karting?
Yes. In my last few years in karting, we were more, for sure. It kept progressing throughout the year, but I didn't realize at the moment because I was young and I was very focused. But it's true that when you're at the racetrack and you're racing and you're winning the race in front of all the boys and everybody, some girls are coming to you and say, oh, thank you for showing that it's possible and that now I'm racing like you and I want to be as competitive as you are and everything. So for sure, there is some impact on what I'm doing since the beginning, yes.
Now, the natural step from karting is to go into single-seaters.
Obviously, yeah.
But you didn't.
I didn't.
Am I right? Did you raced a Renault Clio first, is that right?
Yes, yeah. Renault.
Front-wheel drive, completely different.
Completely different, yeah. First races with a car. But Renault invited me to three races, so at that time, I had nothing. You know, it was complicating with financially, so I was trying to make the most of it. And then I did a selection that helped me to meet some people and the Iron Dames project as well that I joined in 2021.
And then it was always, if you start in Clio's, the natural route is to then go to stay in tin tops and go sports car racing.
Oh.
Right?
No, that was not my target. The target was doing Formula 4, but we didn't find the budget, so
Just for people who don't know, what's a budget for F4?
Good question. Depends the championship, but now it's very expensive. But
we're talking hundreds of thousands is what we're talking about.
Yeah, we were talking about 200,000. So it's a lot. It's price of a house, to be honest. So imagine to find this, it's complicated. Even if I won the French championship, we were not able to find enough and not even 20% of it. So I wanted that target and I've been looking for partners since I was at the very beginning. Since I was 11, I was going to companies alone without my dad. My dad was dropping me off and he said, okay, you go. You ask for this guy and you have to talk to him to convince him that he has to help you in your career. And this was tough at 11.
How old were you?
11 when I started. And I was like, how can I speak? How I manage to talk about myself and how can I sell my career, you know? But I learned a lot. Obviously, you go a lot when you're 11 and you have to deal with all these things. But yeah, at that point, I did Clio Cup, but I would still have the FO targets and single-seater because my dream has always been Formula One, but we didn't manage. So
well, you got there in the end.
Yeah, we got it. Yeah, we got it here. So it's mean it's okay to pass from endurance and have some success and have also the chance to that I had with Mercedes thanks to my result in endurance in the World Endurance Championship. Everything happened for a reason, I think, and you have to never give up. And my dream haven't changed throughout my years in endurance. You know, I've been very committed to my work and I always wanted to win races and championships and to especially had this chance one day to switch to single seater with someone and the people that can help me to switch and to do this switch and to succeed in single seater. So it's what we did in 2024.
The sports car link did put you into contact with a lot of great drivers, doesn't it? I mean, we've discussed your relationship with the Mercedes guys, yes. But I'm thinking, please tell me if I'm wrong, but in 23, was Daniil Kvyat,
yes,
a teammate of yours for a while?
Yes.
Another Formula One driver.
Yes.
You know, and you are a sponge for knowledge. It must have set you up.
Yes. Yeah.
How was Danny?
He's good. He's yeah. good. He's
a great guy, isn't he?
Great guy. Very yeah. friendly as well. So a good year with him. We did a podium in Sebring in US, so
the bumpiest racetrack in the world,
but yeah. amazing racetrack, yeah. very old school, very yeah. lovely, yeah. lovely. Yeah. But yeah, definitely. When I knew that we start talking with Mercedes, I asked him some advices, and still now, actually, before going to the sim, I told him how is F1 sim and what kind of advice you can give me, and for sure it was very helpful for me when I was just 19, driving next to him and learning from him and, you know, from his feedbacks that he's giving after he jumped out of the car and also on the radio and the approach of racing and stuff. He has a lot of experience and did many years in F1. So for sure, it was great to me to get ready for the switch afterwards.
Well, look, let's talk about the switch now. Your 2 years in F1 Academy were extraordinary, weren't they? Actually, you finish P2 in year one, you become the champion in year two, you finish in the points in every single race. I mean, Dorian, you really were, it was a phenomenal period for you.
Yeah, I think to succeed, the important thing is consistency. And the first year was good, decent.
Even if I was race.
even if I was aiming for the title in the first year, but you know, everything was new and makes sense that it takes a bit of time to then be even more consistent and being more perform. And the second year was much better. And
what made the difference in year two? Because you stay with Prema, so the team yes. stays the same.
Yes.
Did the driver change?
Yes.
How did the driver change in year two?
I definitely make a step in terms of driving technique and also the approach of racing. I was much more settled and I knew what to expect, but also I grew. I think it made the difference because we were, as you said, always in the points, always scoring the maximum we can. And we win quite a lot of races, but we also make the difference when it counts. And where it can't, it was in Las Vegas at the last round because the championship was played at the last race, and we really make the difference out there by adapting quicker, very consistent, fast since the first push lap of FP1, and condition, adapting to the condition and winning at the race one when it was full wet without driving in that track in wet conditions. So and actually, my competitor for the championship did a mistake in that moment. So it's where we step out, you know. It's where we make the difference is when those moments are very very important that we are here and we perform.
You and Maya Wong had had a fantastic battle all season. Did she bring out the best in you?
Definitely, I think so. Yeah, because we always push each other, you know, from races to races. And we never let this last person in the garage, you know. We were very...
Back to Susie's advice, right?
Exactly, exactly. That's why I'm saying that. But yeah, she is a very good driver as well. She's very competitive also. She was definitely good this last season. And it was a very close battle. But that's why he played at the very last round because we also had in our championship the reverse grid. So we had to always, when you are the top two in quali, you start P7 or P8. You know, it's something very different in terms of approach of racing. And when you're playing a championship, you want to be aggressive, but intelligent, you know. So we always push each other because we were always together in the races and fighting against each other and fighting with the others. So I definitely be better thanks to this battle, yeah.
Doria Pa has won the championship. She finishes in fifth place and she has taken the title.
Yes! I love you guys.
And she has now managed to score points in all 30 races she has ever done in F1 Academy, and she has fully deserved becoming champion here today.
Do you remember, even now, the emotions, how you felt directly afterwards?
Yeah, very, very emotional moment, obviously.
Was your dad there? Was your dad in
no,
Las Vegas?
No, he was at home, unfortunately. He didn't come, but all the family, all the Mercedes team was there, and it's my second family, so with all the T-shirts, you know, special T-shirts.
Yes, I remember that.
Didn't expect it, but it was very nice and very emotional because I put a lot of work into it, and also the fact that I switched to single-seater and we are competitive and we won our first title is something that is... that is very important to me and very big. So,
how important, Dorian, was winning that title? Would you be here now as a Mercedes development driver without that title?
No. It was fundamental for the future of my career, for sure. So I knew it was very important, but I knew I can make it. So I was convinced if I put my work into it and if my dedication is there, the result is coming, and it came so.
How did it feel? I remember looking at the podium and there was Toto was below the podium. Stefano Domenicali was below the podium. Valtteri, I think Valtteri Bottas was there as well.
George
was there,
Kimi,
as well.
And yes, Kimi,
yeah, they were all there.
Yeah.
How did that make you feel?
I was very happy. Yes, it's great to have their support and especially also George, that helped me quite a lot last year, that he's there to celebrate. He's great memory for sure.
Well, and he gave you that advice. Can I just ask you before we end? There's one quote that I've heard you say, which is the car needs to be an extension of yourself.
Yep.
What do you mean by that?
You know, when I was talking, you have no question in your head and you just focus on the present. That's the way you feel in the car, you know, when you have no thought, just focus on the present. And the car is becoming an extension of your body. It's like when you're turning, you feel that everything has an alignment, you know, everything is connected. It's not always that you feel that, but you're trying to be in that range all the time because it's that phase of feeling that you perform the best and you perform very naturally. So it's like being in a zone, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
Dorian, have you seen the F1 movie?
Yes, I did.
You know, at the end, Sonny Hayes talks about flying.
Yeah.
Or his engineer talks about flying.
It's kind of the same thing. Yes.
Is it? Yes. So this is what we're talking about here.
Exactly. Yeah.
And how difficult is it to get yourself in that range?
It is difficult because it's a mental step that you don't reach all the time because there is always something that is bothering you inside, and you want to get rid of everything. That's when you feel in the moment, you know you're going to perform, and you're actually not asking yourself any questions, you know? So it's not like, for example, you arrive in the breaking point and you're like, if I break 5 meters deeper, it's going to make the lap. No, it's you arrive in the corner, you don't even ask you anything, any questions, and you just pass the corner and everything is making sense, you know, without even thinking. So
That was my translation of what you're saying is you're not, it's all sort of almost subconscious. It's happening without having to think. Yeah. Dorian, it's been such a joy to have you on the show. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Look, final one, 5 years' time. If we do this again, have another interview in 5 years' time. Where do you see yourself?
I hope I will have a racing suit.
A Mercedes racing
Mercedes
suit.
Mercedes with the stars being in Formula One.
Okay. Well, look, best of luck with that. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
I'd love to see Dorian in Formula One. She'd be a huge asset to any team. And she's now getting the opportunity in the Mercedes simulator. And I look forward to talking to the Merck engineers after her TPC test later in the year. I'm sure she'll be straight on the pace. Dorian, many thanks for your time. It was great to talk to you, and good luck with everything coming up this year. And remember that you can watch every round of the F1 Academy season on F1 TV and get the highlights on YouTube. Well, that's almost it for this episode. If you need something else to listen to, why not try the latest episodes of F1 Nation or F1 Explains, or one of our previous episodes of this show? Lewis Hamilton, George Russell, Toto and Susie Wolf have all been on F1 Beyond the Grid and are well worth checking out. I'll of course have another new episode for you next week, but for now, thanks for listening. F1 Beyond the Grid is produced by Formula One and Audioboom Studios. Until next time, keep it flat out.
What if you could get more from what you already do? As a Shell Fuel Rewards member, that's just a regular weekday evening. You get more rewards, more savings, and more special offers. Earn rewards when shopping, dining out, and fueling up. And all of that becomes fuel savings when you're at the pump. Use the Shell app and enjoy life with more. Your nearest Shell station is less than 5 miles away.